Luke chapter number 16, please. Luke chapter number 16. We're going to start reading in verse number 19. We're gonna preach on a message, convinced and convicted. There is a process that needs to take place. Convinced and convicted. We need to be convinced of the Word of God and get convicted, and then from there on we can get saved. And we'll be talking about that. If you would stand for the reading of God's Word. The Bible says, Luke chapter number 16, verse number 19, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for tonight again, Lord. Thank you for the opportunity and the ability to come to church tonight, Lord, and on a Wednesday night, Lord, thank you for the ability that we have to go and work, but Lord, that we can stop what we're doing and come to church, Lord. Thank you for that blessing, Lord. I pray that you would be with the services tonight, be with my preaching, Lord, and Lord, I just pray that you would get me out of the way, and Lord, just preach through me, Lord, and. Lord, help me to preach what you want me to preach, Lord. And Lord, thank you for Pastor and Miss Cheryl as they're out on a vacation, Lord. I just pray that you would bless them in their time, Lord. I just pray that you would bring them back home safely, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So as we see that where the rich man, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day, that caused him that made so that he could not get to heaven. He never applied the truth to his heart. He never acknowledged the fact that God is his Father and Jesus his Savior. That's what got him into the place of torment. But we can still see the things that he did and did not do, the way he treated this poor man. Now we can be treating a person a certain way, good or bad. I mean, our humanity is no excuse for it. So we wanna be clear on that. But we mess up. We are human beings, but that does not give us any ticket to wrongdoing. And so the rich man, as he was doing his thing, and you know, I don't know, he might have been kind to some people. But it was not to the service of the king. It was not to the service of the Lord. We realize our good works. What are they according to our salvation? They are nothing concerning salvation. That's not what buys. That's not what gets us into heaven. Our good works. That is absolutely not it. And if you want to try to get to heaven that way, that is denying Jesus Christ right there. And but as we are living this life, we want to be kind to each other. Pastor already preached about kindness is not the lack of unkindness. It is actually doing a kind deed to somebody. Actually going out of your way and doing a kind deed to for somebody. And so we can be going through life and actually doing good to each other and doing absolutely just what needs to be done. But if we are not the fathers, it is not to glorify God. It is not to bring glory to God. It's just same as one time we were driving down the road and we were discussing something. And we were talking about good works, what good works bring, what good works are for, and how they, when they make a difference, at what time that it is for the service of the Lord. And that is like, we might know of a relative from out of state from here, and that he's got a good truck. So there's no denying the fact that that truck that he has is a good truck. But is it of any benefit to you? Absolutely not. That doesn't deny the fact that it is a good truck. When it becomes yours, then it becomes a benefit to you. So when we are God's children, then the service that we do, the good things that we do to each other, we are commanded to do. Then it is, because we are the Lord's, then it is to the Lord. And the choices that we make in life are going to bring blessings or hardships. We can see that. The beggar made a choice at one point of time, because the Bible says that Jesus is the only way to heaven. So at one point of time, the beggar accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior, where the rich man did not do. And so... So that's the only way that he got to heaven. It wasn't because he was poor. It wasn't because of that. But it still brings out, I think, the message to us of how we should treat the poor. And when we have, when it is in our reach to help somebody, then that's what we need to do. But in today's world, we know that not always is giving money the thing to do, because they might go and spend it on something that is not good. So it comes to the point where we realize and we understand what the difference is between those and what it takes to go to heaven. But is it a heart knowledge, or is it just a head knowledge? That's where convinced and convicted, the title of my message, we need to be convinced of the Word of God. That's why we go out and witness to people and try to convict them. And the thing that gets people in trouble where they end up going to hell is their pride. God never puts somebody in hell. I mean, he doesn't want to. It's our own sin. It's our own pride, being too prideful to accept what was done on the cross. So verse number 23 is the last verse we read. And number 24 goes on to say that about the rich man. And he cried and said, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." That was a prayer, but why was it not heard? Why was it not answered to how he wanted it? I mean, just last Wednesday night, we talked about the power of prayer. But that power of prayer only exists in this lifetime. So that's why that prayer was not answered in the way that Lazarus wanted it to. It was a definite no. Because he was already in hell. See, then they prayed, probably asked things that they should have prayed here on earth in this life. But Abraham said, "Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would come from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence." So there's no water. There's no chance for that to happen. There's no way that Lazarus could bring water, a drop of water, to cool the rich man's tongue. That's how much torment he was in. Just a drop of water. Now, what if somebody were to say, well, there must be hell isn't very bad because he only needed a drop of water to quench his thirst. No, it was just the slightest plea that he thought he might get that little bit of comfort. And that goes to tell how bad hell is, that a drop of water would have just been a little bit of comfort. And that's it. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. Why? For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. See, they don't want you there. There's people that say that they want to go to hell where all their friends are. They don't want you there. The moment they are in there, as soon as somebody dies, there is activity right now. The body lays still and dead and cannot move, but there is activity with that soul right then and there. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they would repent. And he said unto them, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one arose from the dead. So there we can see that we have what it takes to help us to be persuaded and to be convinced and convicted of the truth. So really, you know, if somebody were to come from the dead to warn us, the Bible says that wouldn't make a difference. That is quite something. That does not make a difference. I saw on a social media platform where there was a lady that done a video of she was talking about how she wants to go to hell, and she was talking about, what do you care? Just let me go. I want to go there. You know what? The second after she dies, she will wish that she wouldn't have to be there. She will wish for one more time. And there was people that commented on there and trying to warn her of that. She will wish that she had that one more moment where she could hear the warning and heed it. Because that is not a place where somebody wants to go. So point number one, the action. As we look at the way the rich man lived, it did not end well with him. The biggest mistake he made was to not humble himself before God. That's the one and biggest mistake that he made. He was a very selfish man. He did not feed the hungry. He did not help the needy. So there's a place where prayer is heard, and that is here and now. Now the rich man's eternal destination is in hell, where he lifted up his eyes and saw Lazarus, who had no mercy. Abraham, God had no mercy on him. There was absolutely no mercy shown. Now when Lazarus died, he was in paradise. That's where he still is today. So point number two, the belief. There are people who believe that when they die, they will just stay in the ground. There's this hole that they get buried into. And they try to persuade themselves. I don't know how they can do that. How they think that they can actually persuade themselves that they're just going to go into the ground and stay there. That is not going to happen, because the Bible says it's not going to happen. They are atheists. There are atheists. You know, they say that. They try to persuade themselves. Romans 14 verse 11 says, for it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God. Every knee. You know, that is even to the most prideful person here living on the earth, and they cannot bow a knee. They cannot humble themselves to even bow a knee to the Lord and even humble themselves to say, Lord, I realize that I am a sinner. I need you. And they cannot do that. And they might look at you and say, oh, no, I wouldn't. I'll make sure that I won't bow a knee, that I won't confess to the Lord. But, you know, every single human being on the earth, when they die, they will, whether they have done it on the earth in this lifetime, they will bow the knee and they will confess to God. How do you know? Because the Bible says so. The Bible says so. So there's just no way out. When the Bible says it, that's what's going to happen. So John 3, verse 36 says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. John 3, 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Verse 17, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. You know, the Bible says that it is not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to the knowledge of Christ, that all might be saved. That is God's will. I was talking to somebody who talked about how he was out of church for a certain number of years and all that, and he was talking about how his life was, and he said, you know, God knew that this is the way it was going to be, so this must have been his will. Interesting. We are created a being of, we make choices, and we can be outside of God's will. So the Bible says that it is not his will that any should perish, but that all should be saved and go to heaven. I'm paraphrasing there, but that's the meaning of it. So, you know, that's God's will, that we all go to heaven, but it's not going to happen. The Bible says it ain't. It's not going to happen that we all go to heaven. And that's why it's so important to go out and witness to people. And, you know, the Bible says that if we are ashamed of mentioning his name, Jesus' name, to people, he will be ashamed of mentioning our name to God. And so, you know, as we are going, let's say we would be here's a big cliff, like 1,000 feet drop off, and we would see the cliff. We would understand that there is a cliff, that if people come and they fall off of it, what the end result is going to be, they're going to die. And we would go back towards them, and we would see what their fate is, that they're just going to, you know, if we don't warn them, if we don't tell them, hey, there's a cliff up ahead, and you want to slow down, you want to stop, you want to turn the other way, but we are too embarrassed to even say anything about it. So we just let them go on. Yeah. Yeah. That's what we are doing when we don't witness to the Lord, for the Lord, to those people. Because they are going to spend heaven or hell throughout all eternity. There is no other. And point number three, the reward is, you know, we get our rightful reward of what we chose, heaven or hell. Proverbs 16 verse, I am going ahead of myself a little bit. So first of all, before that point, the devil does not care if someone does not believe in God or in the devil or in heaven or in hell. The devil doesn't care if you don't believe in any of those, because he's got you anyway. He's not there thinking, oh, he don't even believe in my existence. He doesn't even believe that I exist. He doesn't even believe that he will get back up from when he dies. He believes that he will stay in the ground. Oh, you know, and he don't even worry about that, because he's got you anyway. It doesn't take belief in the existence of the devil to not have to wake up in eternity and go to hell. It does not take believing in him, in his existence. and believing in that destination of hell and believing, you know, it doesn't take in all those for the devil to lose you. However, it takes believing in God before we can ever come to the knowledge of the truth where we might be saved. So that the world through him might be saved. Might. That means we have a decision to make. We have a decision to make. It might also, you know, if we deny him and if we don't accept him, then we will not be saved. It's God's hope that we will, you know, God wants us to be saved. So point number three, the reward. Proverbs 16 verse 25, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death.
You're right.
And there's many religions, there's many cultures out there that believe in something other than the finished work on Calvary. So they will think that they can somehow, their good will outweigh their bad, and somehow God will just say, "Oh, you can come in." That's not gonna work. That's not going to work. We have a decision to make, either God or not. That'll be either heaven or hell. So hell is a destination that nobody wants to go to. Nobody wants to go there. No matter what people profess to believe, what God says is the end of the story. We cannot make excuses for our sin nature. We need to grow in the Lord. We need to get deeper into God's word. Get deeper into God's word. And the more we get into it, the more it becomes something, you know, alive to us. So reading a random book, it would get pretty boring. And we could read it two times, you know. And we would say we know pretty well everything that says. That it says in there. But the Bible doesn't work that way.
Right.
It's always something new. And a different angle. You know, I picture it, the Word of God as a hub of a wheel with lots of spokes pointing to the hub. There is so many in that outside radius that can be pointed into. So many different messages. So many different preaching that can be pointed to the Word of God. To God himself. And God is the hub. There's so many pinpoints that touch that. And that's why there's titles to sermons. Different titles to sermons. Different ways, different approaches to what God said, to God. And, well, now I said that, but what I don't mean as far as there's different ways to get to heaven. There's only through Jesus Christ. But we can see the radius of, you know, different angles we can look into the Word of God and always get something out of it. So I know of an Amish bishop that I don't really know him, but he left the Amish and he went to a church that called themselves the Church of God. And I don't know if you ever heard of them or not, but he was, you know, they got a very, very false belief, very off, very much off. And he wishes now that they wouldn't have gone there, joined them, but his wife is so deep in it that they can't leave. But the Church of God has 12 disciples. They have their 12 disciples, and the head disciple of them all is a man, not Jesus, not, you know. It's a human being by the name of Ray Kinsman. And they say that they, when they die and they meet up with God, and God says to them, if God would say to them, "Depart from me, ye evildoers, into everlasting punishment, into everlasting damnation, you know, into hell." That all they have to do is to mention Ray Kinsman's name, and he will bring him in. He will say, "Come on in." That is so off, off, You know, that is so far from the truth. It's like they can believe that. But right there is a way that seemeth right unto a man. You know, the poor little children that grow up in that church and they are taught that, and that seems right to them. But the end thereof are the ways of death. That's the only way. And there is people that are going there and trying to warn them, but they're callous in their ways. So just because someone believes a certain way does not make it right and everything else wrong. We cannot make the Word of God wrong by believing in something else. We cannot make it wrong. If we try that, we will only find ourselves in destruction. We will only find ourselves in hell if we deny God, if we never accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. So, hell, and there again, hell is a place you never want to be. You know, so it's easy to kind of think in life, you know, for the average human being to go through life and think, you know, as far as death, you know, oh, well, that wouldn't be me. You know, you hear of everybody else dying, but I'm still here and you're healthy and all that. But someday it will be you. There was a guy at work who used to be a police officer, and he is still where he could go back to it, but he's just not in active duty right now. But he said, do you know why people get pulled over for speeding? Because it's because they speed and think, it will surely not happen for me. I will not get pulled over. You know, that's that mind process. And I'm afraid that that is exactly what the devil uses to us to not get ready for eternity. We get ready for everything else. We get ready for events. We got ready for church tonight. We get ready for weddings. We get ready for to go out and you know, have fellowship with people, or go out to dinner and stuff like that. We get ready for all those. But are we ready to die? Are we ready for eternity? Because that is a serious matter. It is something to double check. Not trying to cause somebody that is truly saved to doubt their salvation. But it's something that we can always go back to and double check and just make sure of it. Because we don't want to be thinking that we are saved and we're not actually saved, you know. But if we call upon the name of the Lord, He's going to save us. Amen. You know, just as clear as the Bible says that if we, you know, what'll happen to us if we don't accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, just as clear it is that when we call upon the name of the Lord, we shall be saved. So, you know, last week we talked about the power of prayer. And we see that as we go through life, little things and bigger things can really help out in coming to the Lord in prayer. And they do help out. But in eternity, that will not work. You can pray the most sincere prayer in hell, but it's not going to be heard. Whereas, if you would have prayed that same prayer on earth, you would have been saved. You would have been saved from hell to heaven. Your direction would have been changed away from that cliff. And that is serious, because one day I will die. One day you will die. It is appointed unto man wants to die. You know, and afterwards is the judgment of God. And so we will have that time where we go. And you know, the destination where we are headed to right now depends on whether we gave our heart to Jesus Christ or not. Now, when I want to go to Shelburne and I take a right there, is that the right way to go? Absolutely not. I mean, I might go a big round trip and eventually get there, but that's not the way it works to get to God. There's only one way. It's only through Jesus Christ. Either you're going to him or from him. There's only one way, not a roundabout way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's the only way. The only way. And how dare we think that we can surely get to heaven by our own merits? And the reason I say this is because I grew up in a church that believed that it's by your good works. Well, guess what? Your good works are. The Bible says that they're as filthy rags. Does that mean that we shouldn't have good works? Well, we just discussed that earlier tonight, what they are for. But as far as salvation is concerned, they are of no value. They are of absolutely no value as far as salvation is concerned. So, anything you believe that does not line up with the Bible is wrong. Absolutely wrong. If it does not line up with the Bible, it is wrong. And that is one area where, you know, I was, before we started coming here, I was very, you know, I either woke up during the night or else I was laying awake, never did get to sleep. But I was just thinking about, I could die tonight. I mean, I could go to sleep and never wake up on this side of eternity. And I just quivered, you know, I was just like, and I talked to my wife about it, and I was like, I'm afraid if I die tonight, I would not go to heaven. And there was something in me that just felt the urge, you know, I just felt the urge and the conviction that something, you know, because I didn't have answers of what actually needs to, you know, what, I mean, yeah, we believed in Jesus, but it was like, we believe that you can also lose your salvation. So, and there is still people that believe that you can lose your salvation. But it wouldn't, just like we said last Wednesday night, it wouldn't be eternal salvation if you could lose it. Then it wouldn't be eternal. So, God has determined what is right and wrong. Anything you believe that does not line up with the Bible is wrong, and God has determined what is right and wrong. Now, in conclusion or towards conclusion, I want to share a little bit of some testimony or some deathbed experiences that happened with a few Amish men. There was this young Amish man by the name of Henry. He was not married. He was probably in his upper teens or lower 20s. I'm not sure exactly where in that bracket. But he got sick, and they took him to the hospital, and he got diagnosed with a sickness that was incurable. And it was either incurable from the start or else it was too far along. I don't remember how it was. But they sent him home to die. So death was staring him in the face. And he was one of those young Amish boys that tried to push all the rules that he could. And so he had stuff that he rightfully shouldn't have had, which was very shameful that he even had them. But then he also had some stuff that was against the church rules. So in his buggy and in his room and whatever, his bedroom. And so when he came home from the hospital, he knew that he doesn't have long to live. And he went and he destroyed everything out of his buggy and out of his room that he had that belonged to him that he was not supposed to have. And he destroyed it. And he was there on his deathbed. I don't know how long before he died, but not long before he died. And he pleaded with his parents. He was like, can I not know that I can go to heaven? And his parents just said, see, you've made all your things right. You've done everything. You've made everything right. And you got rid of your stuff that you shouldn't have. And so we believe that you can go to heaven. We believe that God's going to be merciful to you. You done. Nothing about Jesus. What has Jesus done? And I'm just like here cringing, and he died that way. And I'm just here cringing and thinking, surely the Lord heard that heart cry of wanting an answer and took that for a prayer of salvation? I don't know. But that is something that I just, you know, looking back, I just can't stand it, that they didn't have more answers. And of course, if you would go and try to witness to them and tell them that there is a way that you can know, they would consider that prideful, and because you're not Amish, they wouldn't want to listen to you and just go on with their own belief. There was another young man that died. He was my first cousin by the name of Dan. He was also a teenager. And this was probably 5 years ago. And they were having some kind of they were building a building, and the community got together and built the building. And he was up there on the trusses and putting those 2x4s up and whatever he was doing. It was before the metal was on the roof. And he somehow misstepped and fell 15 feet head first onto a concrete floor. And he made the movements of somebody dying. And they rushed him to the hospital, and he ended up actually looking like he's going to survive this. He got out of it, and he came alert. He started talking to the people around him, including my uncle, who is a bishop. I don't think he's a bishop. He's a minister. He's a preacher in the Amish church there. And he was there, and they were talking. And all of a sudden, you know, we heard the news that he's getting better, and we were like, okay, good. All of a sudden, we get this death message that he got worse fast and died. And my uncle, my preacher uncle, said this. He said, if I would have realized that he is that close to death, I would have tried to prepare him for death. No matter if you are healthy here today, you need to be prepared to die. Because you can look all healthy and everything, and before you even know that there's anything going on, you could drop over dead. We are not promised the next second. We are not promised that. We need to be prepared to die. And why wait till we know that somebody is actually dying? There was another, my uncle Benjamin, he got killed in 2008, May of 2008, in a accident where they were traveling home from Missouri to Wisconsin, and there was a whole van load of Amish and an SUV. They had a Dodge 15 passenger van, and those things, the wheelbases, I've heard, are not very good. And so they got that long tail behind the rear wheels, and it's easy for them to whip out of control. And so the SUV, there was an SUV that comes up and happened to sideswipe him a little bit from the rear end, and it caused the van to just lose control and roll over three whole rounds, and got back on his wheels. And he was not instantly dead, but he was never really conscious to amount to anything. And he got rushed to the hospital and ended up dying just several hours later. And now, when he was still alive, he was always known as sloppy and dirty and lazy and slow and all that, and people just did not like him. But he went on, lived his life the way he did. Well, then, whenever he died, and on the day of the funeral, I was there, and the preacher got up preaching about it, and everything that they were in his lifetime talking about, how this, you know, negative about him, this and that, in different ways. Now he found a word to replace that with a good word. Always patient and humble and all that. I mean, you cannot pray, you cannot humble, you cannot glorify a dead person to heaven all of a sudden. And the preacher said, if this man did not make it to heaven, I cannot see how I can. Those that compare themselves among themselves are not wise. You know, I don't know. I mean, it's like, it's shuddering to me to think that they look off of that with the way he lived his life. You know, they need the truth. There was my also the death of my grandfather, my mom's dad, also by the name of Benjamin, and he died of old age, and he died like 12 years ago already, and he was like on his deathbed, and he got weaker and weaker, and he was on his deathbed, and he was there, and all of a sudden, the time came where he couldn't even audibly speak. He was way too weak for it. He was just frail and way too weak to even audibly speak. Maybe whisper, or if not that, a slate. Write on a slate or something. But I'm not sure if it ever got that far. But anyway, he was not able to audibly speak. And in that time, when it was that way for a while, that he was not able to audibly speak, all of a sudden, he got this adrenaline, or the power of God's, where he realized his need of being ready to die. And he just cried out in a loud, audible voice and said, "Mein Gott, ich bitte durch Christi Blut, mach's nur mit meinem Ende gut." Now, I don't even have to explain that because you all understood it. Well, that is saying, "My God, I pray with the blood of Jesus Christ, I pray that you would make it well with my end. That you would basically save me." That's what that is saying. And I'm just sitting here thinking, those were some strong words. Those were words from a high German hymn that the Amish sing all the time. And those are some good, accurate words, And that prayer is a prayer of salvation. And I'm just like, I believe that I will see him in heaven when I die. I believe I will see him in heaven because he prayed that prayer. So, you see, we cannot get to heaven by our own merits. There's only one way, and that is through Jesus Christ. And he wants to get into our heart. He wants to come into our heart, and I've already heard it explained this way, that the door to your heart has only a one way to open it, and that is from the inside. You have to respond. You have to let Jesus, you have to invite Jesus into your heart. He's not going to come and force his way in there. It's up to you. It's up to us whether we make that choice or not. So this is... And I know this is we're here with a probably a 100% saved crowd. I don't know if everybody is saved or not, but I just have to feel like the Lord laid this message on my heart for some reason, because even though we go to church every week, every Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday night, and all that, even though we go to church all that time and we are faithful, There has been preachers that just wanted to make sure of their salvation. And there's nothing wrong with doing that. There's everything right with doing that. That's the way it should be. And so let's just remember with the account of the rich man and the beggar, it all determines on when you pray that prayer. While you're living on this earth, or after you die. Because after you die, that prayer is not going to be answered. That prayer is not going to be answered. There is only one way, and that is through the shed blood on Calvary. And now, there's one more thing that I want to touch on, that the filthy rags, our good works are as filthy rags to God. Now, I've already heard somebody explain it this way about what those filthy rags consisted of, were of the leprosy that people had, and they broke out in sores, and they took a rag and peeled that gooey stuff off of their arms and stuff off of their skin, and I'm sitting here like, okay, filthy rags. That's not just talking about this rag got a little bit dirty, so let's throw it in the laundry. That's talking about actually filthy. Filth means something that you don't want. And so when Jesus died on the cross, God turned his back, and it pleased the Lord to bruise him. It pleased the Lord to bruise him because he didn't love his son. No, it pleased the Lord to bruise him because he hates sin. He hates sin. That's why Jesus died on the cross for us. And so let's make sure of our salvation. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's the only way. And most of all, I mean, really, you know, I know this is Wednesday night, but I hope that somebody can hear this online and it'll be a blessing to them. And I hope that it was a blessing to you all as well. So let's go ahead to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, I thank you again for this opportunity, Lord. I don't take it lightly. Lord, thank you for the messages that you've laid on my heart, Lord. Lord, I pray that it could have been a blessing to somebody here, Lord. It was a blessing to me when you laid it on my heart. And Lord, I just pray for your will to be done here in the music to follow and as the people are coming forward, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen.